This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of AC arthritis from the shoulder and elbow section on orthobullets.com. As a quick introduction, AC arthritis is the most common condition of the AC joint. AC joint arthritis is caused by transmission of axial large loads through a small contact area, resulting in repetitive microtrauma, which is the same mechanism as distal clavicle osteolysis. With respect to epidemiology, as far as the demographics, AC arthritis is more common with age but can occur by the second decade of life, and is more common in weightlifters and other athletes. Risk factors for AC joint arthritis include trauma, post-traumatic, for example, after clavicle fractures or AC instability, distal clavicle osteolysis, inflammatory arthropathy, for example, rheumatoid arthritis, post-infectious arthropathy, for example, septic arthritis, and keep in mind that AC arthritis is commonly associated with individuals who engage in constant heavy overhead activities, especially in weightlifters and overhead throwing athletes. Now let's go over some relevant acromioclavicular joint anatomy. So the acromioclavicular joint is a diarthrodial joint as it has an articulation from the scapula to the clavicle. It contains a fibrocartilaginous intraarticular disc analogous to the meniscus of the knee. The acromioclavicular joint has a small articular surface area with relatively high axial and rotational loads, which lead to high contact forces across the AC joint. This is exacerbated by articular disc degeneration and an oblique joint surface orientation. The ligaments to know include the acromioclavicular or AC ligaments and the coracoclavicular or CC ligaments. The acromioclavicular ligaments provide anterior-posterior stability, where the posterior and superior AC ligaments are the most important for stability. The coracoclavicular ligaments, on the other hand, provide superior inferior stability. Moving on to the presentation of AC arthritis, symptoms of AC joint arthritis includes activity-related superior shoulder pain, specifically with overhead activity, with crossbody arm adduction, with O'Brien's active compression test, which is at 90 degrees forward flexion, and is exacerbated with a pressing motion, for example, bench press, push-up, and leaning on the affected side, for example, while sleeping. On physical examination, palpation may elicit pain with direct palpation of the AC joint. There also may be prominence of the distal clavicle secondary to osteophytes. Provocative tests include pain with a crossbody adduction test. Moving on to imaging, in terms of recommended views on radiographs, AC arthritis is best evaluated using a Zanka view, which is a 15-degree cephalic tilt. Findings can include osteophytes and joint space narrowing, distal clavicle osteolysis. However, keep in mind that imaging findings do not always correlate with patient symptoms, as these findings are often present on radiographs without clinical signs or symptoms. An MRI, if obtained, will show increased signal and edema in the AC joint. This can also be used to visualize associated pathology, for example, rotator cuff pathology or long head of the biceps tendon pathology. Treatment of AC arthritis can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes activity modification and physical therapy, as well as AC joint injection with corticosteroids. Activity modification and physical therapy is the first line of treatment. Make sure to avoid aggravating activity, such as pushing/pressing activities. Physical therapy should focus on strengthening and stretching of the shoulder girdle. AC joint injection with corticosteroids can be both diagnostic and a therapeutic modality. However, keep in mind that access to the AC joint is challenging. Keep in mind that AC joint injections often miss the joint, therefore ultrasound improves accuracy of the injection. Remember that most patients do not experience long-term relief after injections. Operative options include arthroscopic versus open distal clavicle resection or a Mumford procedure. Indications for this include severe symptoms that have failed non-operative treatment. In terms of outcomes, remember that open versus arthroscopic is based on the surgeon's preference and comfort. Arthroscopic resection has the advantage of allowing evaluation of the glenohumeral joint and treatment of any associated injuries, for example, rotator cuff, long head of the biceps, and glenoid labrum pathology. Keep in mind that you can combine diagnostic arthroscopy with an open distal clavicle resection. And finally, open procedures require meticulous repair of the deltotrapezial fascia. In terms of the technique for an arthroscopic distal clavicle resection, keep in mind that you should only resect 0.5 to 1 centimeter of the distal clavicle. Finally, let's talk about some complications. These include AC joint instability, persistent pain, heterotopic ossification, and deltoid dehiscence. So in terms of AC joint instability, remember that anterior-posterior instability can be due to aggressive surgical distal clavicle resection that is greater than 1 to 1.5 centimeters. Anterior posterior instability can also be secondary to aggressive debridement sacrificing the posterior and superior AC ligaments. Superior inferior instability is usually iatrogenic due to aggressive surgical resection compromising the coracoclavicular ligaments. Persistent pain is most commonly due to incomplete resection of the distal clavicle, specifically the posterior superior area of the distal clavicle. Finally, in terms of deltoid dehiscence, this can be secondary to inadequate deltotrapezial fascia repair after open distal clavicle resection. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 20-year-old competitive weightlifter presents with complaints of right shoulder pain for 6 months. He undergoes a diagnostic acromioclavicular joint injection, which provides significant pain relief. He has failed conservative management and elects to proceed with arthroscopic distal clavicle excision. 3 months following surgery, he continues to complain of a painful popping sensation. It is determined that damage to the AC joint ligaments occurred intraoperatively. Which type of clavicular instability is most likely to be observed in this patient? And the choices are 1. Anterior, 2. Inferior, 3. Posterior, 4. Rotational, and 5. Superior. The correct answer to this question is 3, posterior. So this patient sustained injury to the posterior and superior acromioclavicular or AC ligaments, resulting in posterior AC joint instability. The AC joint is a diarthrodial joint that articulates the scapula with the clavicle. It contains a fibrocartilaginous intraarticular disc analogous to the meniscus of the knee and has a small articular surface area with relatively high axial and rotational loads. The ligaments of the AC joint play a pivotal role in its stability. Unlike the coracoclavicular ligaments, the conoid and trapezoid, which are important in superior stability of the distal clavicle, the AC ligaments are most important with the anterior-posterior stability. Injury to the AC ligaments most commonly occurs secondary to aggressive surgical distal clavicle resection that is defined as greater than 1 to 1.5 centimeters. Injury to the posterior and superior AC ligaments results in primary posterior instability of the distal clavicle. Conversely, injury to the anterior and superior AC ligaments results in anterior instability of the clavicle. Strauss et al. Review the causes of failure following distal clavicle excision, including over-resection leading to joint instability. They report that persistent symptoms and disability after distal clavicle excision requires the formulation of a treatment plan which may include conservative management, revision surgery, or ligament reconstruction. They conclude that proper surgical technique and appropriate rehabilitation during the index procedure can minimize the likelihood of a poor outcome. Neuber et al. Reviewed AC joint injuries. They report on the usefulness of an injection of bupivacaine into the AC joint to evaluate the source of pain about the symptomatic shoulder. They also note that the amount of bone resection necessary with arthroscopic technique is less than with the open procedure due to the ability to preserve the stabilizing properties of the superior AC ligaments. They conclude that resection of 4 mm to 8 mm of bone is all that may be required to give uniformly good results with arthroscopic distal clavicle excision. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 1, injury to the anterior and superior AC ligaments would result in anterior instability of the distal clavicle. Answer 2, the coracoclavicular ligaments prevent superior displacement of the distal clavicle. Inferior instability is a rarely observed type of distal clavicle instability. Answer 4, the AC joint experiences rotational forces at baseline. Rotational instability is rarely observed. And finally, answer 5, superior instability may be observed with injury to the coracoclavicular ligaments, which are the conoid and the trapezoid. And moving on to the final question. Your partner performs distal clavicle excisions through an open approach while you prefer to use an arthroscopic approach. He notes that the literature shows both techniques have similar results with the exception of which of the following benefits of an arthroscopic approach. And the choices are 1. Ability to evaluate the glenohumeral joint. 2. Preservation of the coracoclavicular ligaments. 3. Preservation of the inferior acromioclavicular ligaments. 4. Lower complication rate. And 5. Decreased surgical time. The correct answer to this question is 1, ability to evaluate the glenohumeral joint. So the arthroscopic approach with an initial diagnostic arthroscopy of the glenohumeral space prior to the subacromial space is felt to be helpful in confirming the diagnosis and identifying other pathology. Berg et al. Reviewed failures of open distal clavicle excision and found that 15 patients had a missed slap lesion. Fewer complications, lower infection rate, and decreased surgical time have not been documented in the literature. Lemos and Tolo reviewed complications resulting from treatment of AC joint pathology. The open technique can often miss other underlying pathology, such as rotator cuff and labral pathology, that may be associated with degenerative changes of the acromioclavicular joint. Therefore, they recommend that even if an open distal clavicle excision is the treatment of choice, an arthroscopic evaluation of the glenohumeral joint be performed at the same time. That's all for this review about AC arthritis. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.